Chapter 18. Joshua Calvert was surprised to find himself enjoying the train journey. He had almost expected to see a 19th-century steam engine pumping out clouds of white smoke and clanking pistons spinning iron wheels. Reality was a sleek 8-wheel tractor unit with magnetic axle motors powered from electron matrices, pulling 6 coaches. The Kavanaughs had provided him with a first-class ticket, so he sat in a private compartment with his feet up on the opposite seat, watching the sprawling forests and picturesque hamlets go past. Dibi Yadev sat next to him, eyelids blinking heavily as a mild stimulant program trickled through his neural nanonics. In the end, they had decided that Ashley Hansen should remain behind to operate the Lady Max MSV as the crew emptied the Mayop from her cargo holds. Dibi had volunteered to take his place quickly enough, and as the nodes had been glitch-free on the trip to Norfolk, Joshua had agreed. The rest of the crew had been detailed to maintenance duty. Sarah had sulked at the prospect. She'd been looking forward to an extended leave exploring the gentle planet. The train compartment's PA came on to announce they were pulling in to Colsterworth Station. Joshua stretched his limbs and loaded a formal etiquette program into his neural nanonics. He had found it in Lady Mac's memory cores. His father must have visited the planet at some time, though he had never mentioned it. The program might well turn out to be a savior. Country-dwelling Norfolk was supposed to be even more stuffy than swinging cosmopolitan Boston. Pursing his lips at the prospect, Joshua shook Dibi Yadev's shoulder. "Come on, cancel the program. We've arrived." Dibi's face lost its narcotic expression, and he squinted out of the window. "This is it?" "This is it. It looks like a field with a couple of houses in it." "Don't yell that kind of comment about, for God's sake. Here." He datavised a copy of the etiquette program over. "Keep that in primary mode. We don't want to annoy our benefactor." Dibi ran through some of the social jurisprudence listed in the program. "Bloody hell. I think Lady Mac fell through a time warp to get here." Joshua rang for the steward to carry their cases. The etiquette program said the man should be tipped 5% of the ticket price, or a shilling, whichever was the larger sum. Colsterworth Station consisted of 2 stone platforms, covered with broad wooden canopies supported by ornate wrought-iron pillars. The waiting room and ticket office were built from red brick, and a row of metal brackets along the front wall were used to hold big hanging baskets full of bright flowering plants. Appearance was a priority in the station master. The scarlet and cream paintwork was kept gleaming the whole year round, brasswork was polished, and his staff were always smartly turned out. Such persistence had paid off handsomely today. He was standing next to the heir to Cricklade herself, Louise Kavanagh, who had remarked how nice it all looked. The morning train from Boston pulled in slowly, and the station master checked his watch. 30 seconds late. Louise Kavanagh inclined her head graciously at the stout little man. On her other side, William Elphinstone shuffled his feet impatiently. She silently prayed for him not to make a complete mess of things. He was so impetuous at times, and he looked totally out of place in his grey suit. Field working clothes were much more apposite on him. For herself, she'd carefully chosen a pale lavender dress with puff sleeves to wear. Nanny had helped to pleat her hair into an elaborate weave at the back of her head, which ended in a long ponytail. Hopefully the combination would give her a suitably dignified appearance. The train halted, its first 3 coaches taking up the entire length of the platform. Doors banged open noisily and passengers started to climb down. She straightened her back to get a better look at the people emerging from the first-class coach. "There they are," William Elphinstone said. Louise wasn't entirely sure what she'd been expecting, although she was pretty sure in her own mind that starship captains were wise, serious, and mature, responsible men, perhaps a bit like her father, except without the temper. Who else would be entrusted with such a fearsome responsibility? What a captain did not look like, even in her most fantastical dreams, was a young man with strong, regular features, 6 foot tall, wearing a smart, exotically stylish uniform that emphasized his powerful build. But there was the silver star on his shoulder, plain for all the world to see. Louise swallowed hard, tried to remember the words she was supposed to say, and stepped forwards with a polite smile in place.